I just wonder why the editor of the Hoek Express, why should he want to promote you as a radio commentator? Surely he wanted to promote you into some top job on his own newspaper.
Well, there wasn't a top job in his own newspaper. You know, Gerald, it was one of those local newspaper things where I covered everything. Education committee, Women's Rural Institute meetings, and all the sport. It made you a kind of all-round journalist in a way.
Coroner's court.
That's right. Police court. Up to the police station every morning at 9 o'clock to find what had happened overnight. Yeah, lovely stuff. And John Hood, a very fond memory. I mean, he drove us hard at our work, but he was a man for whom I had tremendous respect. And he was the BBC's correspondent in Hoek. I had to report all the lamb sales, for instance, and any bits of news. And it just had occurred to him on the quiet that I was awful keen on rugby statistics and keeping notes of what players had done and so on. And so he wrote to the BBC and said if ever they needed anyone, that I might be quite a useful person to have. And as I say, it was a complete surprise to me. When I got the letter from the BBC inviting me to the audition, I threw it in the bucket. I thought the other lad in the office was having me on. And it was only a week later when Mr. Hood said, "Have you not heard from the BBC?" And then I protested no, and that I wasn't going under no circumstances. And as I say, he was the one who really pushed me along.
So originally then, you were a radio man.
Oh, very much so, yes. I loved it, really, because in those days, when you were due to start, you just got a wee tap on the shoulder, and you knew you had to describe everything, that the audience, in a sense, was blind, and so you had to paint the whole picture, and I liked doing that. It kept you rolling along. I tell you, it's a strange thing how events come about, Gerald, because my father reminded me when I first started in radio commentary that when I was a boy of 9, 10, 11 and 12 years of age, that I used to write up stories of athletics championship matches with all the great British athletes of the day, and that I used to organise athletics competitions in our own avenue with my friends, my school friends, and that I used to sit on the dike or on the wall and do commentary as they did the races. Quite a nice way of organising things, as you can see. I got the soft bit, as you can imagine.
Well, it's interesting. Tony Lewis wrote that he suspects that the best commentators are either actors or instructors. And in fact, you're an instructor. You're a school teacher.
That's right. I think that's been helpful in a sense in my commentary, especially in switching to television, because I've always felt that rugby union was a complicated game, and certainly for the uninitiated. And I always had the feeling that with the grandstand audience, for instance, a great many people viewing weren't really rugby addicts. They weren't specialists at all. And initially, I did have this feeling that I had an obligation in a way to explain some of the finer points, to explain why the scrummage was turning, why those forwards were peeling out the back of the line-out.
But that's the teacher in you, isn't it, coming out there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's so helpful, too, in my teaching, because, you know, in one of the parts of the preparation for a rugby commentary is to go along and see the international side practicing the day before. And going along there, of course, is a great joy for me, because I can then go back to my own schools, and when I'm coaching my rugby boys in the afternoons, I'll often get the opportunity of saying, "Now, look, chaps, I was watching England on Friday afternoon at the runabout, and I saw big Bob Hesford do it this way, or it was very strange, but this is how they were." And as soon as you mention a name of a player that they've seen on television, instantly the reaction is there.
And, of course, being a celebrated commentator, that turns you into a sort of hero to them. I'm sure they're very proud of their sports master.
Yeah, I get some lovely comments, Gerald, I have to tell you. You know, one wee girl, only 7 years of age, one morning, on Monday morning at Burn Foot Schools, the class were just leaving, and she stopped and said, "Please, sir, my mother says you wear a wig on television." So I had to let her pull on my hair and things like that. But you're quite right. They do look up to people who are on television. And in every sense, it's been tremendously helpful to me as a teacher.